This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. We speak often on this program of the dangers children face when it comes to their health. Bad food, bad habits, bad environment. Are there also modern dangers we need to address when it comes to their education? We know their bodies are under attack. Can we say the same thing about their ability to learn? I believe our guest today is uniquely qualified to offer some insights and guidance into protecting young minds. Dr. Rose Gamblin holds a PhD in educational leadership and has taught in both public and private schools. Besides being a teaching principal at Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School and Child Development Center, she's also an educational consultant. And Dr. Gamblin can be heard hosting two radio talk shows, Homeschool Companion and Education Currents, Busy Lady. Dr. Rose Gamblin, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a privilege to talk to you.
Let's begin with the basics, Dr. Gamblin. Homeschool, public school, private school. What are their strengths and weaknesses, and how should a parent decide which is best for little Tasha or little Johnny?
Well, the ideal school is what God created it to be, which was the home. Mm-hmm. And the parents are the first educators. They are the most important educators of a child's life. And even if a child goes on to traditional school, the parents still hold that high esteem position of being the most important educators of that child.
I can see why this would be, because we have said many times the child spends sometimes more time in the presence of a teacher than they do in the presence of a parent. Am I right?
Yes. And then, of course, that's why I would advocate for the parent to really know where they're sending that child. If they want that child to have a very secular worldview, then they would choose a school that also held to that secular worldview. But if they wanted a child to grow up with a faith-based worldview, then they would look for that educational facility that did faith-based education.
You're making a distinction then between the secular and the faith-based. Now, is there any difference in the actual quality of the education that a person learns at a private school that might be a Christian school and the quality they learn at a public school that is separation of church and state and all that, and the religion is really left out? Is there a difference in the actual quality of education?
Well, you know, in my experience, and I do have the experience of going to many schools in Baltimore City. I was at one of the largest high schools when all that rioting broke out, and I saw there firsthand the difference mainly in the value that is placed on that student. Now, in that particular high school, they were afraid, and they just let the kids out. They said, you know, there's no bus service, just find any way home you can get. And the kids were petrified. Now, mind you, there were some that were gang related and they got involved and the masses grew and it looked like, you know, Baltimore was destroying itself. But a lot of the problem was that these high schools just let their kids out with no way for them to get home. A lot of innocent kids were pelted with plastic bombs and tear gas and those kinds of things. It was a terrifying experience. Now, I have students that also live in those areas that attend my school. They didn't attend school those days, but when they came back, we really had to debrief about some of the vandalism that was occurring in their neighborhoods, the lack of respect, how the news was covering it. And there, it is definitely a line between where we feel as a faith-based school that our children are of immeasurable value. And in a more institutionalized setting like public school, the child becomes a statistic. They're just a number. Either they score well on the benchmarks or they don't. And when you look at eternity, when you look at the big picture, everyone is of immeasurable value. Yes. But we have a foe marching up and down, seeking whom he can devour. And the first thing that he attacks is our sense of self and who we are. And if he can get us to feel really bad about ourselves and that we're worthless, then we will become worthless.
I'm beginning to see what you're talking about here. Education is a lot more than learning facts and figures. It's a lot more than learning about history. It's a lot more than learning about science and how things work. You're saying that there is an element missing in most educational systems that can only be put back in place in an educational system that is faith-based. Am I on the right track?
You're on the right track, and this can be a great testament or a great knowledge of truth for parents who have no other alternative but to send their children to the local public school. You know, that single mother who has to work, and there's just no way she can homeschool her child, and she can't afford private education. She can do a lot, or he can do a lot, to recognize the fact that their child's going into this very secular environment. And so at home, then, they can take the steps. You know, The Gifted Hands by Ben Carson is such a great testimony to a mother who had to work, you know, more than one job.
Yes.
And her children attended public school. But she went the next step and said, no, you are valuable, and you are going to get a good education, and you're going to go to the library and read great biographies of other great men and women. So that mother took a bad situation, really, and set her child on a path where he knew he was somebody special.
That is a beautiful testimony to Christian education there, and the results, of course, we know what happened there, not only the Gifted Hands book, but also the man's running for president. So this is a testament to the power of a mother who included real education, education about God, education about where we came from, education about our value in the life of a child who was attending public school, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess what I'm hear you saying is that if you have a child and that child has to attend a public school, the education will be there, but something will be missing, and that missing something must come from the parents. And that is the education about faith, about God, about our place in this world, about our value in this world. So if you have that combination, it does work. If you don't have that combination, if the parents just ship the kids off to public school and let the public school have their way with their children, what are the results? What happens then?
Well, there are some wonderful teachers in both public and private school that really care about their students. Mm-hmm. And we know from the statistics on addiction and high-risk behaviors that if that child can connect with just one meaningful adult, they have a better chance of avoiding those pitfalls. So that being said, to both teachers and parents and grandparents, grandparents can fill the void in a huge way. I've just seen some wonderful examples where grandparents have mentored the children, and it has been so rewarding to see that child just blossom because the grandparent moved back to town and took over where the parent was unable to. So that being said, I don't want to negate how important it is for a parent to go and look at the school that they're planning to send their child. Some states are already looking at the idea of giving parents school choice. School choice is a hot topic because parents need to have the choice to send their child where they feel their child will do the best. Now, I don't think the majority of the states do school choice, but parents can go a long ways to help that child by going and visiting the classroom, getting to know the teacher. The parent is the student's biggest advocate. Yes. And so if they're not advocating for that child, the child really is at the mercy. And the old saying, the squeaky wheel is the one that gets oiled,
That's right.
is so true.
That's right. Okay, I hear the message coming through loud and clear that the parents need to be involved no matter where that child is going to school. If they're homeschooled, of course, the parent is involved by default. If they go to a private school, the parent needs to be involved also in supporting what that child is learning in that private school, if it's a Christian school. Mm-hmm. And if they go to public school, even more important for that parent to be involved, not only in knowing the teacher, knowing the environment, knowing the subject matter that child is learning, but also knowing how that child is being taught to react to the world. Am I right in saying that?
You're so right. You can ask your prospective teacher some questions like, is this a student-centric environment or is it a teacher-centric environment? And that just will put the teacher a little bit on the know that you know what's best for your child.
Well, they're going to tell you it's a grade-centric environment. That seems to be what's going on out there right now.
Oh, they're standard-centric. You know, I will even go and read different websites of different school districts, and they will proudly say, we are, you know, standard-centric, mm-hmm. That we go by the standards, and we try to get everybody up to the national core standards.
Yes.
But that's not really God-ordained. Mm. God is very student-centric. He died for each individual student. He didn't set a standard and say we all have to reach that standard or we can't be saved. Mm-hmm. Though I know that there have been religions that have said that, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that each individual is important and that Jesus died for us and took our sins so that we could take his righteousness.
Mm-hmm. God-centric education, how important that is. We'll take a short break right now, Dr. Gamblin, and come back and talk to you a little bit more. We're talking with Dr. Rose Gamblin. She is an educator and a child development specialist. She is a consultant and has even written a book. I have it right here in front of me, Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers. Very, very good read. And we'll learn more about Dr. Gamblin and also about educating the children we care so much about on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your Biblical Prescription for Life. I recently received a letter. I've been diagnosed with breast cancer and I really need to quit drinking alcohol. Alcohol seems to be a crutch for me. Well, I'm so sorry that you have this diagnosis, but I'm so glad you're seeking help as 1 in 8 women have breast cancer. And we all know that alcohol is something that will make it even worse. Well, our biblical prescription for life comes from Philippians 4, verses 13. I can do all things. It doesn't say some things. I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. And this includes lifestyle changes. If you can accept this gift, God will give you the victory over alcohol. When we claim God's strength, we can do all things. For notice, it says in Christ. So ask Christ to give you the victory. To learn more, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, I'm here because of you. Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the Tree of Life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Rose Gamblin. She holds a PhD in educational leadership and is taught in both public and private schools. She's a teaching principal right now at Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School and Child Development Center. She's also an educational consultant, author, and if that's not enough, she has two radio talk shows, Homeschool Companion and Education Currents. Dr. Gamblin, you made it very clear at the beginning of the program that we need to have God in our education. Let's shift gears slightly right now and talk about health. What part does basic nutrition and healthy lifestyle habits play in the ability of a child to learn and develop along the lines that we want for that child?
Well, you know, I work with ages 2 to, in our pre-K, it's ages 2 to 4.
Uh-huh.
And I am often saddened by what I see that is packed in their lunches. Sometimes I walk by and it will look delicious. It will be, you know, half of an avocado and some beans and rice and maybe some orange slices. You know, just it's a brilliant appeal.
Yes.
And then other times I walk by a child and it's maybe these luncheons with a few crackers and some cheese. And I can look at what that child eats and I can almost predict how they're going to behave.
Really?
For a 2 and 3 year old, it is a direct correlation.
Mm-hmm.
I have the child that has the constant runny nose that won't eat anything except macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. and then just a few bitefuls. And the teachers that work under me will, you know, say, oh, he doesn't eat at all. He doesn't eat at snack time. He doesn't eat at all. And we do furnish the snacks, so we have control over that. We make sure that it has fresh fruit and maybe a breadstick or crackers and some kind of protein.
Uh-huh.
And then if we ask them what they had for breakfast, you know, it might be Fruit Loops. And it's sad because you know the nutrition going in that child is causing them to act out, and then they get in trouble. And when a child's in trouble all the time, pretty soon they don't feel that good about themselves because all they see is the disapproval of their teachers, and it turns into a vicious cycle. So we actually counsel the parents. We have some parents, though, that are very, you know, they're doctors, and they don't think that they need to have any counsel as to what to feed their children. So
yes.
It's difficult.
Yes.
Just difficult. There's a direct correlation. You know, we have a triangle. We have the spiritual, the physical, and the mental.
Mm-hmm.
And any time that the triangle is not in balance, the rest isn't in balance either. You just don't have that perfect triangle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the mental doesn't work and the spiritual doesn't work if you aren't feeding your child correctly.
That is going to come as a surprise to a lot of people because according to marketing, according to what you read on the package of these foods, we're talking nutritious, we're talking bone building, we're talking mind expanding. You really can't trust what marketing is saying about food. But who can you trust? Where can we go to find someone who says to us, this is what you should eat, and this is going to be good for you?
Well, I think we really need to actually look at some of these packaging companies as correlated to drug pushers. Because the food that we feed our children is very addictive. The Kraft macaroni and cheese, the donuts, the cookies, the puddings are all highly addictive. They're more addictive, I'd say, than cocaine because they have high fructose corn syrup. But even if you look at them and they don't have high fructose corn syrup, there's other salts in them that are also very addictive and other chemicals that are very addictive. So pretty soon your child doesn't want to eat anything other than those foods. You know, I think of this little child. I don't want a parent to take this to an extreme, but I've seen it taken to an extreme where a little five-year-old has for lunch 2 dry pieces of whole wheat bread with some slices of cucumber in between it and just trying his best to eat that with the tears streaming down his cheeks. You know, that
yes.
To me, that's an extreme, maybe the other direction.
Yes.
But if we can educate our children from the time they are young to have their taste buds cultured for the God-given food. I mean, you think of an orange. When you peel that orange, I mean, there are so many wonderful phytonutrients in that orange. And I have done this with little kids, just peeled an orange. They were like 4 years old, just watching me peel an orange like they had never seen an orange peeled before. You know, they had always had so much processed food. They hadn't seen the fun of eating a whole food like an orange. Now you have to cut it up just into pieces if you're feeding it to very young children, but it still was so fascinating to them. And it was a lesson to me that we just aren't providing our children with the food experiences that are out there everywhere, from bananas, grapes, oranges, good proteins. It's just wonderful how God has packaged up our food. Our food, it should be our medicine.
The whole food plant-based idea is a lot more than health for our bodies. You're saying it's also can be health for our minds, am I right?
Absolutely. And now when the kids get older, and of course by the time you get them, I teach upper grades, by the time I get them in 7th and 8th, their habits are pretty well established. And you might not notice that they had Fruit Loops in the morning or no breakfast at all. And you're still requiring them to function at a pretty high level. And then you realize that, yeah, they are a bigger organism at that point. So the food takes longer to have its impact, but it's still there. Yeah. And I have children diagnosed with fatty livers. You know, I had never heard of that diagnosis. In the sixth grade with a fatty liver. Yeah. Well, it's a lifestyle problem. And already the what used to be in older people are coming down into our younger students. It's amazing.
Dr. Gamblin, in the couple of minutes we have left of the program here, I want to ask you a question. We've identified some of the real problems. Are they being addressed? And are you hopeful about what's around the corner for educating our young people?
It's so challenging. Private schools don't have the resources, the money, and public schools are dealing with the same thing. They just don't have the resources that they need. One of those things, I know homeschooling will become more and more the option of choice because parents are not happy with what's going on in public school and they can't afford private school. So I'm very nervous for it because there's so many obstacles and the mindset. You know, the old saying, if you have a problem that money can solve, you don't have a problem.
Okay.
And really, what we're dealing with is mindsets, churches that don't have visions for funding private schools, and public school system that's become so institutionalized with a progressive worldview that we don't want our children there either. So my hat's off to those families who are figuring out a way to homeschool.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rose Gamblin has been our guest today. She holds a PhD in educational leadership. She is a teaching principal in Baltimore, an education consultant, and also she can be heard on two radio programs, Homeschool Companion and Education Currents. Dr. Gamblin, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your words of wisdom and guidance, and I know our audience does too. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Rose Gamblin inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.